flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Greg Bedard discussing Jerod Mayo a year ago. What coaches on the offensive side of the ball? I wonder who didn't like Mayo a year ago.
Probably not here now.
No. No, I think he comes on this radio station, though, from time
to time.
I think
that's true. He might be a head coach at in the college ranks.
Yeah. College in Boston.
It does check out, though, because remember how it was sort of awkward at like the press conference when they were talking about coaches and replacements? I think it was the first Mayo Kraft one. They asked him about the offensive coordinator, and it's like, no, not him. It's like, who it is, I don't know, but it's not him. Like, no, there will be a change. Remember, it was worded somewhat weirdly, which is kind of consistent with how the whole season has been with Mayo.
Yeah, we should have seen it coming.
But it was something like... Which I thought was the right move, like to move on from Bill O'Brien. But like the way that it was worded, it was like, I don't know, is he so much worse at his job than you are at yours? Like, what are you doing?
I'm starting to wonder with Mayo if things are like even worse than we realize over there.
Possible.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because he was openly just apparently flaunting that he knew he was the next head coach down the stretch. While Bill was still coaching out
like
the
he
string.
Was Negan from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, he felt like he was above it all. He could do whatever he wanted. He's a made guy. I'm the next coach here. And obviously he did no thinking or planning about how he was going to coach this season.
No.
It's like that rubbed people the wrong way. And then as Bedard tells it, and it's Jones and Kiefer on WEEI, you just heard the clip. As Bedard tells it, he'd get into these meetings and be like, we're good on our side.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Which, like, he's not even the coordinator.
No.
He's not even, you're not even the guy on that side of the ball.
The inside linebacker
it's
coach.
It's really Bill.
Yeah.
Bill's kid is the one calling the plays.
That's right.
And he's the one going, yeah, I don't know what you guys are doing, but we're good over here.
We're doing pretty great over here, guys.
Which is a joke.
Yeah.
And so I'm starting to want, it's bad
outside.
That's
like Sam Houser would be like, we're the best team in the league, aren't we, guys? We're doing pretty great. Champions.
Right.
I don't even mean to take a shot at Sam Houser, but that's sort of the same thing.
Yeah, Sam Houser catching strays.
Yeah,
wow.
My bad, Sam.
But the idea that it's really bad outwardly, like the record's really bad, the PR of it is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Mayo has to correct himself all the time. Then you get the cuts him on the sideline doing nothing, and you're like, this is terrible. I wonder if it's worse in the building than we realize.
I think it's definitely possible. I mean, we'll see what happens, you know, because when things were getting a little hot, it's funny how we heard about like a 2-week span, we heard about the wide receiver coach.
Yep.
We're like, we're going to blame the wide receiver coach for this mess.
No, Van Pelt's been blamed. Tyler Hughes has been blamed. Marcus Covington has been blamed.
Rothstein's been blamed.
Rothstein is now getting blamed. Yes, good one.
Right.
Yes.
So, like, there's like these emerging kind of one-off scapegoats. Nobody's lost their job or anything. A few players have, but no, you know, no member of the coaching staff or whatever has. But if they finish the year 3-14, I can't imagine they're bringing everybody back. So it'll be interesting to see like who they put the blame on for this season.
Well, and how antsy are the Crafts? We talked about this yesterday. If Vrabel's really available this offseason, and he should be, is there a real chance they look at it and go, we should have brought in Vrabel last year. Somebody's going to hire him. This is our chance. Mayo's not working out. Let's go get Vrabel.
I think it's possible. I wouldn't bet on that. Like, I think Mayo's back, but I think that I would open the door to that.
So how hands-on are the Crafts, though, after some of these games? Tommy Curran had a sit-down with Jerod Mayo. I've heard a few of the clips. One of them, he said, basically echoed something he said earlier in the year. I suck right now, guys, but the biggest leap for a player is year one to year two. I'll be way better next year.
Definitely.
Which, keep your fingers crossed, he'll be back.
Definitely.
You know, Tyquan Thornton got so much better year one to year two.
So they might go from 3 to 5 wins?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Four
is better.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, Jalen Polk looks bad as a rookie, but he's going to be really good next year. That's basically what Mayo's
saying.
Best
hands in the league.
So this other clip, though, I've read. I've not fully heard it, so I'm curious how it sounds. But this is a sit-down that Tommy Curran had with Jerod Mayo about the Crafts and how involved they are after some of these games.
How does it go after a game? Do they say,
I set this up poorly. Time out. This might have been your question that you asked to Curran that he turned around and asked to Mayo. Listen to this question.
How do you like that?
Listen to this.
How does it go after a game? Do they say, why didn't you go for two? Is it that blunt, or what was the thought process?
We always debrief the games, and they're very, they just want to know at least my thought process. And they absolutely, just like the fans, sometimes don't agree with the way that the game is going. You know, obviously when you lose games, the questions are plentiful.
Pointed.
Very pointed. That's right.
Plentiful.
That's right. And again, though, as the head coach, like, I have to be able to answer those questions. And my job is not only to protect the coaches, but also protect the players. And that's why I try to take 100% accountability.
This is all on me, guys.
Does he take 100% accountability?
He does not.
I don't think so at all.
No.
Not even close.
I don't think so.
But how about that? So the Crafts are peppering him after all these games. They're like,
good.
Why didn't you? No, I mean, yeah. I agree. Good. But that can't be a good thing. You're getting called in after every game and going, why didn't you go for two?
Yeah.
Why were you running the ball here? Why weren't you doing X, Y, and Z?
To make a long season longer.
That doesn't sound like a coach who's on firm footing.
But you know, yesterday we were bringing up just the, you know, the owners in the city and how obviously Kraft and Henry, there's a lot of similarities, like a lot of winning, but then also a lot of like non-spending. One thing that's very different about the two, like, if after every game, Kraft is like, why'd you do this?
Yeah.
Does John Henry even know what the record is
of
the team?
That's a good point.
But I'm not trying to, like, prop up Kraft for that. I'm just saying, like, hey, if you care that much about it, wouldn't you also invest more money in it?
Right.
Whereas, like, Henry's like, I don't know, what did we get this month from the Penguins, from Liverpool, from NASCAR, from the Red Sox? Let's look at that. I don't think he's like, hey, Alex Cora, why did you take out, you know,
no,
Chris Martin when you did.
I don't think so
I don't
either.
Think he knows any of the players.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Kraft obviously is at every game, or just about at every game, and clearly cares. So, like, if you think there's a chance where maybe there could be change, like, that's what it would have to be. It would have to be an owner who is really into it and, like, wants to know why you're making these decisions.
So, some of the other coaches, at least a year ago, and Bill's one of them, it sounds like Bill O'Brien was another, if I had to read between the lines, didn't like Mayo. His bosses now, after all these losses, are coming in and asking him, why'd you do X, Y, and Z?
And I can't imagine after every one of those. So there's been, what, 10 losses already?
Uh-huh.
So I can't imagine after every loss, they're like, oh, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
No. Hey, why didn't you go for two?
Well, he's so good.
Well, we thought we were going to go for overtime.
He's so good explaining it in front of the media, Keith, when he's had time to think about it. Imagine how he is when he's getting peppered by his bosses.
Does a great job.
So
yeah.
Does that sound like a guy who's back? I mean, to me, not really.
Yeah.
And I think it was noteworthy. I'll keep reiterating. I think it was noteworthy. Curran told us earlier this week he thinks Elliot Wolf is on firmer ground than Jerod Mayo.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a noteworthy adjustment from Tom Curran. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We will get into the Bruins. The Bruins Thursday, they've won 3 in a row under Joe Sacco. They've won 6 out of 8 under Joe Sacco. Is that proof they made the right call by firing Jim Montgomery? That's next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.